There's a certain sadness in the gospel reading today. If you think about it, Jesus has just told those apostles that someone was going to kill him. And yet, a little bit after that, they're not concerned about who's going to kill him and how it's going to happen. They're concerned about which one of them will be the most important. They were totally focused on themselves and not on what was about to happen to the Lord. There is a sadness in that. And somehow we can see some of this in all three of the readings. The first reading, it talks about the wicked and how they recognized in other people who are living righteously, living according to God's law, they recognized that, but rather than saying, yeah, I ought to live that way too, they find a way to condemn and put down the ones who are living well. It's jealousy. It's not wanting to let the goodness of the other person somehow confront their lack of goodness. You know, we see some of that going on today. You know, just think about the times you hear somebody who doesn't go to church make the comment, oh, those people in church are just a bunch of hypocrites. I probably all have heard that. Or you'll hear somebody who recognizes in another person really good positive traits and talents, but instead of being happy about that, they become envious and jealous and hateful in their comments about the person. I think we've all experienced some of that. It's like it's hard to see somebody that's doing better than we are. And rather than accepting that and challenging ourselves to improve, we just want to condemn. If you go to the second reading, James. James is talking about some of these very things: jealousy, selfish ambition, passions, coveting that which we do not possess. And because we can't possess it, envy. Even talks about killing. You know, all three of these readings bring out a doctrine that has tended somewhat to be ignored, but it's very important. And that is a doctrine that's very much at the base of our faith, that deep down, we as human persons are wounded. We are not what we were created to be. Sin has done its dirty work in the lives of each of us. And it began with that sin of Adam and Eve, what we call original sin. And somehow the human history ever since then has been a history of striving for good, but falling short. A history of trying to right the wrongs of this world, but never quite succeeding. Think about it for a moment. In the last decades, how many government programs have we seen that are trying to solve the problems that we have? Poverty, racial injustice, lack of peace. You know, we've created a bunch of these programs. And not that they're necessarily bad. It's just none of them succeed to the point that they need to succeed. It's like we humans aren't capable of pulling ourselves out of the mire in which we're trapped because of sin. I don't know if any of you ever listened to a program on the radio Sunday afternoon at 5. It's called the Thomas Jefferson Hour. I really enjoy that program, But one of the things that kind of hits me from it is Thomas Jefferson was, you know, he was part of the Enlightenment. This deep belief that we humans have the rational power to fix all the problems of our world. And Thomas Jefferson was a strong believer in that. And he really felt that if we could educate people well and teach them right thinking, we could create a nearly perfect society. And that was his dream for this country, that perfect society. Well, we know that didn't quite make it. But it again shows that very deep wound that we have as the human race. We can't do it on our own. And that is the reason that Jesus became one of us. That is why the Son of God took on human flesh. Because we can't lift ourselves up. We can't get ourselves to eternal life. We need a Savior. And Jesus came to do that. He came to save us. And he does that by drawing us to himself. Remember that teaching in St. Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, where he talks about we are members of the body of Christ, each of us, through baptism. Because we have been baptized, because we have been reborn in those life-giving waters and become members of Christ Jesus, we are being drawn more and more and more to him. And that's the role of the Eucharist, to continue drawing us more and more into unity with Christ Jesus, so that he can gather us to himself and he can, at the end of time, present us to his Father as his great gift of work. We can't do it for ourselves, but Christ Jesus came among us to do it for us. All we need to do is believe in him and to surrender our lives to him. And you know, that was the reason for which we were made, is to share life forever in the kingdom of God. Those of you who are my generation or older, maybe a few of you who are a little bit younger, will remember back in catechism, there was that question right almost at the beginning. Why did God make you? And the answer was, he made me to know him, to love him, to serve him, and to be happy with him forever in heaven. That's the purpose of our existence. And yet, on our own, we can't get there. That is why we need Christ Jesus as Savior. Remember in John's Gospel, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus wants to gather us into the kingdom of his Father. And that is the purpose of our lives, to be gathered into oneness with Christ Jesus so he can present us to his Father. And of course, if we're one with him, that means we imitate his way of love. Some beautiful lines at the end of the gospel reading today, where Jesus says, the first will be last, and the last will be first. And he said, the greatest among you will become the last of all and the servant of all. We are to imitate his love, the love that led him to pour himself out on the cross. If you remember from John's Gospel, the story of the Last Supper, where he washed feet. I think I talked about that last week. Again, we are to imitate that. Being servants who care for one another. And I know deep down, none of us want to do that. We'd love to be served. We love people to take care of us, to give us everything we want, everything we need. But that's not what it's about. It's about imitating Jesus' selfless love, his pouring himself out. becoming a servant of all. He uses right at the end a beautiful image. He says, here he took a little child and he put it in their midst. And he said, unless you become like little children, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. But he was giving us that child as an example of who we must serve. Because in that culture, a child had few rights. The child was powerless, helpless. And those are the people we're called to serve most. Those that can least care for themselves. Those that are the neediest among us. We are called to do as Jesus did. To care for them, serve them, love them. And that power comes to us because we live in oneness with Christ Jesus. And his love can fill our lives, can change our hearts.